Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, Prophet of the Lord.
Amen, Pastor Joanne. Praise the Lord, Pastor Joanne. The Lord has spoken with me today. In this cycle, the last cycle of 24 hours, the Lord has spoken with me about a very, very important event and a very important occurrence that is about to take place on the earth. In these past few weeks and months, the Lord has been speaking with me very, very tremendously about the nations in a very systematic and a very sequential way. And in those conversations, the Lord began by speaking about Botswana. And then the Lord spoke about Mexico. And the Lord spoke about Nigeria. And the Lord indeed did speak about Europe, and you saw the big flood that came over to Europe. And then earlier on 2011, he had spoken to about India, Russia recently, and many other conversations. But in the past 24 hours, the Lord Jehovah El Gibor, the mighty God of Israel, he has spoken with me about the tremendous judgment of the Lord that is coming to visit the earth. And in that conversation, the Lord, he lifted me up and he took me to the nation of the United States of America. Finally, the Lord took me to the United States of America in that mighty, mighty dream. And he showed me the defilement in the land, tremendous defilement in the land of the United States of America. Key among them, he showed me evil worship, devil worship. And the Lord said they belong to a secret club. So I saw a lot of people that belong to this devil worship club. So I think it's the Freemason club. And the Lord also showed me how they have key positions in leadership, in places, in business, and all over. And then the Lord showed me also other ills in the land, the wickedness in the land. And key among the things the Lord highlighted was the fall in the church in the United States of America. And again, finally the Lord again, once more, has spoken with me about the United States of America, about the tremendous judgment of Jehovah, the judgment of the Lord that is coming to the United States of America. And in the church, the Lord showed me in that dream the false prophets in the United States of America, the false apostles doing their thing, the false evangelists, false pastors, false teachers, the unimaginable level of falsehood that has entered into the Church of Christ in the United States of America. And yet it is true that the church in the USA is largely, if not entirely now, an apostate church, a fallen church, a church that is undergoing apostasy, a church that has taken another road. The highway of holiness is here, and they have detoured and taken another road. And that's why this time around, finally, the moment has arrived for the Lord to speak about the church and the condition of the church, the condition of the land, owing to the condition of the church in the United States of America. And in this conversation, the Lord, he took me to the United States of America, the USA, and he showed me devil worshiping going on, the so-called Freemason or secret clubs or societies, so to say. He also showed me the false preachings, the gospel of money and deception, selling the blood of Jesus. He showed me tremendous immorality in the land, beginning from the church and at the pulpit. And then he showed me the near witchcraft practice at the pulpit, where every single pastor, every single shepherd is clamoring for money. The Lord has shown me the wickedness in the land of the United States of America. And then in that dream, all of a sudden he asked me, please pass judgment onto this land. And when I did that in that dream, all of a sudden, I saw a lot of flies that came, tremendous number of billions, trillions, I don't know how many flies covered me all over, covering the whole land of the United States of America. Black flies. Again, a lot of flies came and covered the whole land. And for those of you who know how the Lord speaks, that is one of the ways in which the Lord expresses and demonstrates his judgment that is coming to a place. And so I have seen the tremendous judgment of the Lord coming to the United States of America. And yet the Lord Jehovah is such a just God, he's a faithful God, that if at any time he announces that a nation, according to the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, and he says if at any time he announces a judgment coming over a nation, destruction coming over a nation, demolition, the judgment of Jehovah, destruction, the wrath of God, if at any time Jehovah announces the wrath that is coming unto a land, and if those people will faithfully repent and turn away from that wickedness that has brought about judgment over them, then the Lord says in Jeremiah 18, he says, he shall be faithful enough to relent, not to judge them. Kenya is one case in time. When recently the Lord had spoken from 2011 all the way to 2012 and 13, that blood would flow in Kenya during the elections. But when the nation of Kenya gathered as one man and repented before the Lord with their leaders, the current leadership and all the other leaders, when they gathered as one man and repented on that day before the Lord, February 24th, 2013, then Kenya had peaceful elections. Then the Lord relented. And in the same context, Lord is saying that this is a command, this is a trumpet to the United States of America, that the time to turn away from sin and prepare for the coming of the Messiah is now. The time to observe a national repentance in the USA is now. It is not tomorrow. Because now the Lord has spoken. He has rebuked the falsehood in the church. The liars who are harvesting money in the church. The gospel of private aeroplanes, the gospel of immorality, the gospel of prosperity in the USA, the Lord has now commanded repentance in the United States of America. I am reminded here of the prophecy I gave 2007 when I spoke about the coming of the tremendous flood in New Orleans and the massive devastation that took place when they failed to repent. I don't know what form of judgment this will be, but I've seen the tremendous flies that covered me, and the Lord took me all over all the state, and a lot of trillions of flies all over everywhere, black flies. I was running for my life also. The judgment of the Lord is coming to the land. The Lord is asking for repentance that he may not judge. The Bible in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 137. Again, Psalm 119, verse 137. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Meaning the judgments of the Lord are righteous. The Lord is just and righteous in his judgment. Right now, he has spoken about Nigeria. The judgment of the Lord is coming to Nigeria for the same wickedness, same sin in the church. That the church may now repent, turn away from sin, and once more become salt of the nation, the light of the world. The world is clamoring, crying, craving, running around, looking for a solution. But the church is fallen. The light of the world, that is the church, is now apostate. And that's why now the Lord is awakening the church. He says, thy judgments are righteous. The righteousness of the Lord must now be established. The judgment coming to Botswana, the judgment coming to Mexico, the judgment coming to Nigeria. I spoke to Russia before the earthquake struck from here and also from Amsterdam. I spoke to Europe when I said the floods are coming. When I was at Vienna in Austria, and look what happened, the devastation in Europe. And it was historic, never seen in 500 years. I spoke to India from Hyderabad. I said, the floods are coming. Look, more than 5,000 have died. They're still looking for people. These are the days of the righteous judgment of Jehovah. Repent the nation. Repent. Repent the nation. Listen to me, Christ. Repent. Time is over. Things have changed. I have seen the judgment of the Lord coming. Prepare the way. The Messiah is coming.
This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour and we were just listening to the message, the mighty message from the Lord's end time servant, the prophet of the Lord, to the United States of America. The Lord is commanding repentance, national repentance in the United States of America. The mighty prophet gave this prophecy July 16th, 2013, United States time. We are broadcasting today live from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. And it is 8:45 Eastern Time. We now have the mighty word from the Lord, demanding, not requesting, not inquiring, not suggesting. No, the Lord is demanding national repentance in the United States of America. From the house of the Lord, the fallen house of the Lord, the church in the United States of America. From the White House to the common house in the United States of America. The Lord has been speaking repentance to the United States of America over the radio and over the international wires for years now, and it has been broadcast both on this station as well as public stations and AM stations in the Washington, D.C. metro area. The call to national repentance has gone out over the wires, over the web, published internationally, that the Lord is demanding national repentance to the United States of America, or judgment, the righteous judgment of the Lord, will fall upon the land and the people of the United States of America. Let's start with the scripture when the Lord is calling for repentance. And the church is in such a state today, the first question she might ask, given her condition, is, what is repentance? And we will start with the word of the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. This is Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. When people fall down, do they not get up? When someone turns away, do they not return? Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit. They refuse to listen. They cling to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened attentively, verse 6, but they do not say what is right. None of them repent of their wickedness, saying, what have I done? And again, verse 6, none of them repent of their wickedness, saying, what have I done? Each pursues their own course like a horse charging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. How can you say, we are wise, for we have the law of the Lord, when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? The wise will be put to shame, and they will be dismayed and trapped, since they have rejected the word of the Lord. What kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to other men and their fields to new owners, from the least to the greatest. All are greedy for gain, prophets and priests alike. All practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. That's Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 12. Jeremiah, the mighty prophet, sent to Jerusalem, and the house of the Lord had collapsed. Fraud, deceit, bribery, greed, gluttony, indolence, insolence, unholiness, unrighteousness reigned supreme. And that is exactly what we have in the house of the Lord in the United States of America today. And the Lord is calling the church in the United States of America, and as we heard from the mighty prophet, an entirely apostate church in the United States of America. And who could argue with that? For we've said it before, even the heathen and the pagan walk by, and they know there's no righteousness in that building, there's no holiness in that building, for they see the congregation coming and going, and they don't know if the congregation's going to a sporting event, a nightclub, or a disco. Doesn't look like the church is doing anything holy when they go into the building to worship the Lord. And as we've been discussing and sharing in prior segments, the church is worshiping a chimera god, another god, part spirit and part flesh. And we heard from the mighty prophet about the witchcraft in the house of the Lord to generate profit and gain for the priests and all of the false prophets and all of the false apostles throughout the land of the United States of America. And as a reminder, there are no prophets and apostles in America. They are all false. They are all practicing deceit. They are all lying. For we know if there was one prophet or one apostle, one real apostle of the Lord in the United States, the church would have been in repentance long ago, and we would not now be hearing the voice of the Lord commanding repentance, or his mighty judgment will fall and strike the land. And the United States has reached a place of supremacy and pride because of our army and our wealth and our worldly possessions. But as we have seen over the course of the entire human history and even greater sovereign nations, they have fallen and collapsed and have been judged by the righteous Lord for not turning in returning to the Lord. And if the Lord destroyed his own temple in Jerusalem, the apple of his eye, the Lord God Almighty destroyed the land of Israel and his own temple in Jerusalem for the exact same practices that we see going on in the United States of America. What makes one person even think, even remotely think, that a righteous God, as we just heard from the mighty prophet in Psalm 119, verse 137, that a righteous God, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. What makes anyone think that the United States will escape the judgment of the Lord? We have fraud and deceit in the house of the Lord. We have fraud and deceit in business. We have fraud and deceit in government. And they've learned it from the house of the Lord. For how can we rebuke sin if the church herself has become so overcome with sin? And she's preached another gospel. She's not walked the highway of holiness. She's walked the way of the world, the broad path of destruction. But the Lord is calling all of America, the church, from the White House down to the common house, for judgment does begin at the house of the Lord, to national repentance as one man to stand before the Lord. He's calling the United States to stand as one man before the Lord. For the scripture is Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah 18, verses 7 through 12. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 12. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Verse 11. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. That's Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 12, where the Lord gloriously gives the nation of the United States of America the opportunity to repent. If we repent of the evil that we do, we have reached the point where the church no longer even blushes to sin. She is so dead, she does not even have the blood in her to blush. The Lord will relent and will not inflict the disaster on the land if the church and the nation repents. But if they do not, the sovereign Lord, the righteous, the mighty, the Holy One, will indeed produce a righteous judgment against the land, against the United States of America. And now the sure word has gone out, and we have heard from the mighty prophet that judgment is coming to the United States of America if she does not repent. And for those that recall, we had the earthquake warning from the East Coast directly to the United States of America for repentance. And the Lord has promised another earthquake, possibly several more earthquakes to the land of the United States of America. New Orleans did not repent, and the Lord sent Katrina. And we have seen over and over again the opportunities the Lord has given the United States of America. And we will this time open up the phone lines to pastors throughout the land of the United States. And we'll hear from Pastor Mary Usumba Otieno in one. Okay, we lost Mary there. Hopefully Mary will call. We'll also hear from Pastor James. And
amen.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, Pastor Mary.
Shalom, shalom, Pastor Luis.
Hallelujah. We'll be joined by some other pastors as well. We are broadcasting live at the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, and we started the segment out with the prophecy from the mighty prophet of the Lord of judgment coming to the United States of America if the United States does not repent and stand as one man in repentance before the Lord and repent and return from our evil ways and return to the Lord. And we know that in Kenya, the mighty prophet gave a similar message and it was ignored and there was bloodshed early on. And when the mighty prophet was again given the word from the Lord and called for national repentance in Kenya, the nation did turn out and did stand as one man with 4 million plus in attendance, and including the amazing, miraculous, even terrorist groups had come forward, and the Lord gave Kenya peace. Would you like to share with the listening audience that when the mighty prophet speaks and the Lord speaks to a nation, that the Lord is, it's no joke, it's a very, very serious matter, it's a very weighty matter, and perhaps the American listeners might think that's of another time. Would you like to share, Pastor Mary?
Shalom, praise the Lord.
Shalom.
The Lord spoke to our country through his prophet. And the message was that we repent, that judgment had been passed on our country, and therefore we should repent. And we did not believe. We said there is no judgment that can be passed on our country. He said that he had seen people going to internally displaced camps. He said he had seen women moving with their kids on their backs, and their bags also, carrying them on the head. He said he had seen people in trucks, big trucks, moving from one place to another. He said he had seen a lot of bloodshed with people's hands hanging on trees. And we said nothing like that can happen to our country, because our country, we host those who have problems in their countries. And we called him names. We said all we could. We said he was a prophet of doom. We said we were a peaceful country. We said there is nothing like that from God, and God cannot just speak to him. And we said that who is this God talking to him and not talking to us? And we ignored. In 2007, after the election, things happened that we could not imagine. I remember at that particular time, I was in a town called Eldoret, a city within Rift Valley. I remember very, very well what happened on that night. There was a war cry. And the next thing I heard was, "Can you come out? Can you come out? Can you come out?" People started running here and there. People's houses were burnt. People's property were looted. I saw people's heads being cut. I saw people's arms being cut. You are running and somebody is cutting you with a machete or a panga. I witnessed bodies of people used as barriers on the road so that the cars would not pass. Bodies without heads. I personally helped 3 children who were to be killed. I decided to hide them in a poultry house when they came for their lives. And later we went to a place where the army people live. It is called Moi Barracks, at a place called Soi. Mm-hmm. And we were taken to town. In town, people were killed. I could not believe what I was seeing. We were being murdered like not nobody's business. Neighbors stand against neighbors. If you married somebody who is not of your tribe, that person would even kill you. I saw brothers-in-law killing sisters-in-law. I saw people being raped. I saw we were using bags, plastic bags, as a toilet, and we called it flying toilet. There was no food. We did not have clothes. It was a terrible life, very, very terrible. And the fighting continued. We did not have a place to go. We did not have shelter. We did not have clothes. We did not have water for bathing. I personally stayed for 2 weeks without showering. Imagine a woman staying for 2 weeks without showering. Mm-hmm. It is not a joking matter. And when the man of God has said this judgment in America, I think we should repent, because I don't want even to imagine the things I had seen. At the camps where we were, people developed diseases that we did not know. Others died of pneumonia. There was survival for the fittest. When I talk about that, people might think that in America nothing like that can happen. But who knows?
Amen.
At present in Midland, there is heavy downpour of rainfall. This is summer. This is not spring and this is not winter. This is summer. Who knows? It is high time we repent. It is high time we cry to the Lord. It is high time we ask God to forgive us. Our God is a God of a second chance. God remembers his people. God cries when he sees his people sinning. As Americans, we have sinned. As Americans, we have allowed pastors, we have ordained pastors who are gay. Where is it in the Bible? Which part of the Bible is it? We have turned our backs against God. We no longer think of God when our country was founded on God. Our forefathers, the founders of this country, the founders of America, they founded it on God. They said, except when God is on our side, we cannot make it. They trusted on God. They loved God with all their heart. Some of them died knowing that it is only God that can help and nothing else. But we have turned our back. We have removed the Bible from our institutions. We have removed the Bible from our homes. We are not teaching our children according to the way of the Lord. We are raising up children who are full of anger issues, who cannot handle their emotional stress, who think only the gun is the answer to everything, who think killing somebody is the only answer and the only solution. You never know about tomorrow. You never know what is coming to America. It can be the flood. It can be the earthquake. I am telling you, if you hear the man of God saying God has passed judgment, it is not a joking matter. We should not take it for granted. The Kenyans took it for granted, and we saw it. I saw it happen. I wouldn't like it to happen to anybody. I lost some of my property. I wouldn't like it to happen to anybody. I lost relatives. I am the only one left. I wouldn't like it to happen to anybody. Please, 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 I'm pleading with you, Americans. Turn to God. The judgment has been passed. Jesus is coming. Let us repent. Let us repent. Let us repent. That is all I can tell you. The only solution is to repent and to cry to God. I remember in the election of this year, when there was judgment passed to Kenya and it was to come to election, people prayed. We repented. The Kenyans repented. They were in the field. They cried to God, literally crying. They cried and asked God for forgiveness. They cried and asked God for a second chance. They cried and asked God to remember them. And God remembered them. And that is why there is peace in Kenya now. I am calling upon you, my friends, my brothers, my sisters. Oh, God can only have mercy on us if we repent. Our God is a jealousy God, a God who cannot share us with other gods. A God who cannot stand sin is not going to stand sin. The wages of sin is death. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Mary. Repentance, the national call to the United States of America. Judgment is coming. If the United States does not repent, the word from the mighty prophet, where the Lord has told the United States, demanded national repentance to stand as one man. Pastor James, are you online?
Yes, I'm there.
Could you share with the listening audience, because the church in the United States is so fallen, she doesn't really even understand repentance and what that means. And if you could share with the listeners what repentance means and what the Lord says about repentance.
Yes. Repentance is coming back again to our Lord. It always happens when the people of God are fallen. All over, as you can see in the Bible, you fight when the chosen people, the Israelites, when they could fall and come short of the glory of God, they were judged. And when they are judged, they could maybe be taken away for a while or maybe many years, like when they were in Babylon for 70 years. When they come back, they could repent. Most of them were not the people who actually had sinned. Their children, they could come back and learn how to repent. Repentance is the only way that God have given us to take away our sins. It's only, there is no other way that we can come back to God but through repentance. As a witness of what happened into Kenya, I would like to end what Pastor Mary have already told the audience. I was in a place known as Cup Cutted as a pastor in the Repentance and Holiness. It was on 2007. And I was listening to the man of God. It was on 6th December. That day, I will never forget. And I heard him calling and telling people that repent for the Kenyans because the judgment is coming. You know, Kenya was like what it is in America now. They used to call it a sea of what? Of peace, of a land of peace. And every African country, we had all the refugees coming to our country. We had experience of fighting and other things, but we had never had any problem. People could come to our country, and we were respected. And most of the people who could come out here in abroad, they could say that we have come from Kenya. It was a place where the economy was right. God was actually leading that country, but it came a time when they forgot. Like they could, the way it was just like here. I'm seeing a copyright of what I had been have seen in Kenya. The dollar was only seven shillings of Kenya shillings. The pound was only five shillings. So you can imagine how the economy was in 1970s there. You could get only 100 shillings and buy from the best of the boots until you full suit, and you remain with the money. It was a good economy. So everybody was coming to Kenya. Everybody wanted to be a Kenyan, and all these things. I want to, I'm picturing you the way the American is. God had favored Kenyans to an extent that when you say that you are from Kenya, everybody could respect you. And everybody, every African person could say that he have come from Kenya. That is what is happening in this country. You don't know how much favor God have given Americans. When you say outside there that you are American, everybody see you as something, it's just something that God put to people who he favors. So when I had the man of God announcing that night on 16th of 007, December, he said that I see you being refugees in our own country. I was against that. Actually, my heart was, how can you be a refugee in your own country? As I told you, we were used to refugees, even some from Bosnia. I think all over the world, there is a refugee in Kenya, in all over the world. It's just like America. And we, as a man who had been inside most of the time of the doings of the government, I was well informed about all these things, and I knew a lot of people. People from Sudan, people from Somalia, people from Uganda, our borders there, people from all over Africa, where there were turmoils, and people from South Africa, people from everywhere, they were there. And are still there, most of them are still there. They have become Kenyans now. And I couldn't think how God could overturn this. When he said about people being refugees in their own country, I thought it's something special, that you be caught and maybe you the Lord will just block you to have access to him. I didn't know that is something physical. Then we were in the meeting. The meeting was gone, and now we went home. I'm telling you, on that first night, what I saw, a peaceful country, people coming against brothers, and brothers against everybody. It was complete confusion. People could kill each other for nothing. Mm. Even today, they have not come out of these people. They repent, and they usually repent, and they couldn't know why they had changed their mind. I had a person who came and was repeating to a family that they have brought him up. he was left alone, and their family went, or maybe they died or something like that. And he was taken in by another tribe family, and he became one of the son. But that day, he was the person who killed the other people. He could cry, and he's crying even today, because he does not understand how he could turn to the people who have kept him from dying. He was left a kid, and he does not understand. And I'm telling you, it was nobody could understand. Even those who are fighting could not understand. Those who could observe could not understand. I could not understand myself. Until this thing went on for maybe the whole of 008, there was turmoil, and the whole of, I'm telling you, I'm talking about this, and we got what they call those refugees inside.
IDPs.
IBPs, yeah. IBPs in inside. Yeah? IDPs. IDPs is saying IDPs internal. What?
Internal displaced people.
Internally displaced people.
Internal displaced people are there even today. Let me tell you something. The former president who was there before, now we have got a new president, tried very hard to settle these people, and nobody could settle them. Something just comes, and there is money, and it is there even now. I was listening to the, and nobody knows why these people are still in the camp. And people are becoming used of them. They can come somewhere and they just occupy in a certain place. And even if you try to help them, something usually happens. And they remain there as a sample. It is not because the government cannot be settle them. It is not because people have not contributed even from the small resources they have, but the camp are still there, even today. As we are talking about this, we have been in peace for the last 10 years now, is it? Approximately 10 years, yeah. 7-10 years, because the running of the first president is 5 years, and he had gone two terms. And he tried very hard to settle them. Even internationally, they have paid, they have done everything to try to settle these people. And I'm telling you, we still have an internal refugees. People from the same country who stayed in worse condition than even the refugees who are there, because there are so there's no country with a lot of refugees from all over the world like Kenya. We got the biggest refugee camps. We got all these things are happening there, and those people are staying better in a better way than the refugees of Kenya. Talking about this to tell you that in a split of a second, the peace that we are seeing here in this country can change and become, I don't want to mention this because I don't want it to happen here. I don't want. When we heard of the province of Katarina, we couldn't fathom it also. We heard of all these things that happened here. We knew many months before. It was told us. And when it happens, we came to realize it's not a joke now. It just comes the way maybe you are fat. Just like, simple like that. Simply. And is something that actually in human understanding is something that you cannot be able to fathom. It cannot happen, actually. Farm country, the superpower, and all these things. Yeah? And I'm telling you, Kenya was a superpower in Africa, where everybody who wanted to do anything could run there. There was all opportunities. But look at it now. Everything turned out. The brothers and sisters, these are against each other. Government became corrupt. Everywhere you go, every person is a corrupt person. When the peace comes, you know, it says, it means that the Lord is with those countries. I'm telling you, Americans, and I'm one of the Americans because it's my adopted country, and I don't have any other country that I can say. I'm crying inside because the Lord, our God, we met somewhere, we had a meeting of 960 pastors, and we were praying and repenting of our sin. And it came out to be told that Kenyans are going to tell the people that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near. It's coming soon. And what he said was, it's you people who are going there to tell them. And this is not this is a command, not a request. This is not a request, it's a command. So he said, set us. Within some few months, I found myself in America. I felt so small. When I came here, I found what we were doing is what I could listen to the people preaching, and I could feel my stomach cutting because I know the consequence of what they are saying. They are telling people to live here. I remember a certain story being told. In a farm, there was a lot of chicken, this hen, and I don't know what they call them here. They are hen, I think, chicken, where this chicken that we saw adamant here. And they were in a farm, and one came up, and they were just there for some time, and they feel safe, and they feel that they are not going anywhere. So this one was very clever, and he wanted to teach people how to eat good, to have good health, and that they may stay longer. And while he was teaching them, and they could teach them every day, one day, one which was not very hard, was not recognized, was just destroying, and the one of the chickens saying that is the time of the slaughter is here. So they were talking of how much they will stay and get fattened and have good health. But the next day, all of them are not there. It's just like what we preach here. We preach about good houses. We preach about staying well, having good faith. And we are staying here only for 8 years, only 8, if you are on the side of the Lord. Now, whenever I hear people preaching and saying about how you will have good health, and instead of telling them to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah, we don't have any time. I'm shocked. And now look, the judgment have come, and I'm telling you, we will have time to organize ourselves as the Kenyans did. They went in a open field for 3 days, day and night, crying for the Lord. Come rain, come sunshine, they were there. And really, as the Lord was, as Samaria said, there is peace now. And they were told there will be turmoil. There will be turmoil and demonstration there like any other country. And if they pray, nothing will go bad for them. And now they have learned. And they were just like us. We feel that that God is a good God, cannot do anything with us. He's a blessed. Look at the other countries. They are known by their turmoils. Look at them. They come begging into us. We have been having peace all over there. God gave us, so he cannot even touch us. We felt safe. The way we are feeling safe here, we are big country, superpower. We that God knows. He knows us. That's why he has given us knowledge. He has brought all the knowledge of people from all over the country, and the best brains are in here. We can do anything that we want. We have forgotten something, that it is because of some person, some people, someone who separated himself from the world, stood between the gap. We are eating the fruit of our forefathers, who that day, when they were inaugurated into offices, they didn't go any other place. They went into a chapel and stayed there for praising and giving this country into the heart of the Lord. And you saw it. The towers of when they were demolished by terrorists, the 9/11, that chapel stood firm. Only a scattered one window, which was scattered. All other buildings near there were demolished, but it's still there even now. It's a sample. It's a judgment. It's to remind Americans what happened. It is done. The word of God is supreme. It is stand firm. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Nothing can shake it. That is a sample to say God always stands on his one, only his one, only. And there is nothing more truthful than the word of God. There is no other truth. The word of God is the truth. And whoever will recognize this, he will live a good life in this world. Let's not have seen how much God can bless people. When I came here, I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 18, when he was telling people how much they would be blessed. I came to a place where he said that the bread there will be no scarcity of the bread. And when I look to every home in this country, there is no scarcity of bread. It's a blessed country. I went to one time to a Walmart, and I was looking at the food. I found some fruit there, which was made in Kenya. I was born there. I stayed there for more than 40 years. I haven't ever seen such fruit, and it was arrived here, because that fruit were made, and then they were brought here for the people whom God loved to enjoy. The labor, everything else, the best of the best are gotten here. I have seen that eating and drinking is no problem here. Well, the other places, they struggle. It's very hard to eat twice a day. They just eat once. They cannot afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And here, we take this literally. We eat and throw it away.
Yes.
we baptize even other junk food. You can this way, eat this way. Like the hen, the small hen who had knowledge was sitting the other hen. You eat this and you eat this. Well, the word of God said, when you say thanks, everything that was created for us. And when you say thanks to God, it's good to eat. Everything. And I'm telling you, the word of God is truthful. It's the way of person to make money. It's a burden thing. A burden thing brings pride. Too much freedom, people ought just to abuse it. There's too much freedom of everything in here. To an extent that we don't recognize who bring those freedom. There's too much peace. We go and find where there is fighting and there is no peace just to experience it, to enjoy it. Because our country is too much peaceful. There is everything that you want to in this country. They say there is scarcity of jobs. It's only that people don't want to work. So many are not jobs. Nobody has stayed more than 5 years. There are people I know from when they were born until they die at 80, they have never been employed anywhere. They can't find any job anywhere. Huh? And here, you lose a job only for 2 weeks. And now it's an issue. And they are scattered everywhere. If only you can see, look. There are jobs everywhere, in fact. This is what they call the blessing of our Lord Jesus. It isn't because of what we are doing now. It is because of what they did. Those who knew God, those who gave this country to God, we are eating their blessing now. Because it goes from generation to generation, from one generation, two generations, even fourth generation, the fourth generation. And now,
amen.
It's our time now. It's time because God has given us knowledge to know the season and time that you are living in. To take a step, to come out, to be foolish, because whenever you do something of God, you are is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's foolishness to step out to the darkness, to give the light that we have, God, to that darkness. Whenever our lights come to the darkness, there is the darkness run away.
Amen.
So responsibility of every true Christian in this country now to know that God is waiting, not a multitude, but small people, a group of people who step out, five virgins, who step out for their country and cry to them. That's what Kenyans did. There are people who recognize and say, yes, you are going to perish. Let's go out there and cry God for our country. They did it. And they healed their country.
Man.
God found only 3-4 people who started this. Because it wasn't started by all the millions that you see now. And God have got those people, the millions there. They just want somebody to read. They just want to us to step out. And I'm telling you, when you step out, there is a price to pay, which is known as separation. Separation from the world.
Amen.
Separation from anything non-world. When the world is gone to the left, you go to the light. That's what it means. Separation means death to the things of the world. You die. Then the Lord will come and work with you, because he said, come out of them, my people, and come out of them, and I will meet you. Come out. You come out of these people. Don't do business with them. That's why you can now look at America and see how the devil is how proud he's seen. He's everywhere. He does not even hide nowadays. He knows there's nobody. He knows there's nobody who is capable of standing on his way. Everybody have gone to him. He got a great forest. They are, even the government, as the prophets I say, they can do anything now. So people of America, being one of them, let's this time not look, not wait. Let's be foolish. We won't change. We are losing nothing. We are just coming back to our natural, how we are built. We were not built to sin. We are built to carry the word of God in us, and it is in us. It's very, 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 very difficult to be a thief, a murderer. You have to plan day and night. It's when you are going to sin, you plan, and you can even it affects your body. Because we are not made to sin. And I'm telling you, you are made to worship. If you don't want to worship God, you will worship Adora. You will worship your idol, the what we call them, those film whatever. You worship anything. You have to worship something. So why don't we worship God? We give him the time. We give him everything that we have. And I'm telling you, I'm a witness here in this country where they say that you have to get into the system. I'm not in the system. I eat. I drink. I see. I can testify and say it is possible. I've seen God working on me even here in this country. It is possible. Step out and try him. You want a person who will stand and step out of the system and say, I'm not going, I'm going in the right way. You know it because the Lord said this one in your heart and in your head. So everybody got it. Everybody had it. Whatever you want, you got it. It was put there by the Lord himself, who is the creator. So, our fellow Americans, this is the opportunity that we have, that we can talk and be heard all over the country. I know the Lord our God have made every state to be represented today, that he will be a witness. And that this word will be the judgment that everybody had. He had as a representative of this. Whoever you had this, let me tell you, we got a message of America. And the message is, prepare the way in holiness and in righteousness, for Christ Jesus is coming. The Messiah coming. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you.
Pastor Louis, there's something I forgot.
Go ahead, Pastor Mary.
When judgment was passed to our country, Kenya, there is a reason why it was passed. And the reason was that the church had failed. Not the country, not the common man, but the church has failed. The church as a body of Christ had failed. Well, how did the church fail? There was no love in the church. There was sexual immorality in the church. There was all sorts of sins in the church. There was compromised preaching in the church. The church tolerated sin. The church would steal. The church did not take care of the orphans. The church did not take care of the widow. Mm. The church, I'm telling you, when during that time when there was tribal killing or name it, can you imagine people turning, people of the church turning against their pastor and killing the pastor's family? Can you imagine the pastor turning against the members of the church and killing some of the members of the church? It was the church that had failed. Here, even if abortion is legalized, there is nobody who can tie you with a rope and say, I am not releasing you until you abort. You decide by yourself. Abortion is taking place in the church. Why should abortion take place in the church when the church knows that abortion is sin and is killing? Why should slandering take place in the church? Why should idol worship take place in the church? The church cannot stand on their own. The church can no longer rebuke sin. The church is the one that is ordaining gay pastors. And the church knows very well that in the Bible there is nothing like that. Now the church has now come up with mending some parts of the Bible to suit their own thinking. The church is only thinking about me, myself, and mine. The church has become selfish. And that is what brought problems in our country. So it is even here, the main reason is because the church has failed. It is high time the church turns back to God. It is high time the church remembers that they are going to wed Christ, that soon and very soon we are going to see the King. It is high time the church repents and turns away from their sins and ask God for forgiveness. It is good to know the sin, because if you don't know the sin, how will you repent? Me as a body of Christ, as a member of the church, because the church is the body of Christ, if I do idol worshiping, I should turn away from idol worshiping. If I am a slanderer, I should repent from slandering. If it is sexual immorality, I should repent from sexual immorality. If it is if I'm not humble, I should repent for that. If I'm judgmental, I should repent for that. We just don't say repent, repent, repent. What are we repenting from? Identify the sin and repent of that sin. Shalom.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mary. The Lord has called out many specific sins in the land of the United States of America, and falsehood and lying and deceit is a consistent, unfortunate thread that runs from the pulpit, false pastors, false apostles, false prophets, false evangelists, all the way to the highest offices in the land of the United States of America. And the church needs to repent of lying and deceit. And as the Lord says, and the proverb goes, show me the shepherds, and I will show you the nation. And we have a pulpit and an altar that is dishonest and teaches for gain and exploits the sheep for gain. And we've read through that in Ezekiel 34. And the Lord says, I myself will seek out my sheep. And as noted earlier, we're called to step out, step away from the sin, return unto the Lord. That means to walk in agreement with the Lord, to walk humbly with the Lord, to walk in holiness and righteousness, to do what is right and just in the eyes of the Lord, not in the eyes of men or in the world, where they will applaud deceit and gaming the system and dishonesty and exploitation. These are the sins that the church and the nation needs to turn from, and the immorality that is throughout the land, the sexual immorality, the immorality watched on TV and propagated and promulgated throughout all of Hollywood and daytime TV and Hollywood movies and videos. It is pandemic throughout the United States of America. These are the sins the Lord has called the church to come out from. The Lord has called all to return unto him and to repent from their sins. And very briefly, Pastor Rebecca, do you want to share something?
Thank you, Pastor. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth a little over 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for our sins. John 3:16, and I'll read 17 also, says, "For God so loved the world," that's us, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That is the God that we serve. He is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a gracious God. He is a kind God. He is an understanding, compassionate, caring God who has come, sacrificed himself unselfishly, poured out his life for others, for us, that we could come and be a part of his family. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, if Jesus came to over 2,000 years ago, and we have been so blessed, as Pastor James had relayed already to the listening audience, and we are in the United States of America, we are blessed beyond measure. We have food on our plates. We have roofs over our head. We have air conditioning. We have toiletries. We can go to the bathroom. We can go to the store. We have freedoms that other countries don't share. We have so many, so many, so many gifts and blessedness that God, that Jesus died for, that the blessings of what this nation was founded on are still being propagated today. And yet we still have the audacity to turn away from God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 18, the Bible says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Verse 18, "Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Praise God that he has been a long-suffering God. However, God has seen the sins that have been piled and piled and piled and piled to heaven, that he must act. And he has called judgment forth upon this nation that was founded upon his principles and his word and his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he died for. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And further down in 19, it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and that everyone who names the name of Christ departs from iniquity. Again, throughout all of the scripture, he is calling us here to repentance, to live a life of holiness, to live a life of righteousness, to turn away from our iniquities, to embrace righteousness, to embrace God and his word and his ways, to be not wise in our own eyes, but to fear the Lord and depart from evil. If we turn to Hebrews, let's see, chapter 10, verse 26 through 31, and this is in the Amplified because it needs defining so that there is no foolishness or ignorance that can be exclaimed before the day of judgment. Verse 26, for if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning after once acquiring the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone our sins, no further offering to which to look forward. 27, there is nothing left for us then but a kind of awful and fearful prospect and expectation of divine judgment and the fury of burning wrath and indignation which will consume those who put themselves in opposition to God. 28, any person who has violated and thus rejected and said it not the law of Moses is put to death without pity or mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. 29. How much worse, stinger, and heavier punishment do you suppose will be judged to deserve who has spurned and thus trampled underfoot the Son of God, and who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it and insulting and outraging the Holy Spirit who imparts grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God. Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, retribution and the meting out of full justice rest with me. Hallelujah. I will repay, I will exact the compensation, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge and determine and solve and settle the cause and the cases of his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful, formidable, and terrible thing to incur the divine penalties, the judgment, and be cast into the hands of the living God. We do not serve a God who turns his eye away from those who are being oppressed, those who are being deceived, those who are being lied to, those who are being condemned unlawfully. God is a God of justice. God is a God of truth. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he is coming, and we must prepare through repentance and walking in righteousness and holiness. We must turn away from our iniquity and turn to his way. we'll wind up with John, chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Pastor Lou, would you like to wrap up?
It's open, Pastor James and Pastor Murray. Is there anything else either one of you would like to add?
Yes, it's something that is coming to my heart, and most of the things I'm just a vessel. I have to tell it to the people. And whenever you hear the word of God is said to the people, that means judgment. That means that you have heard. That's why we preach to the people who are perishing and the people of God. Because one day they will hear this word. And now, my fellow Americans, it has come to the time that we have given you a curse, like how Moses said, and life, a curse of all the life. We are urging you to choose life, American, because it's no longer a joke. We are not here to be famous. We are not here for any contribution. We are not asking for any contribution. We don't even want it. We are here that we can save this country, our country. And the only way that we are given is just by repentance. As not to go and just repent and forget about it, is to cry from inside, to desire to be righteous before the eyes of the Lord. The work was done there at Calvary that day, and it is for whoever wants. Let us choose this life, because the way of the Lord is life, or else we will perish. I've seen it being done. I saw the Katarina. I knew about Katarina 6 months before it happened. I have been knowing everything that is happening to America. I have seen the fraud in New Jersey. It's 2 years. I think it was 3 years. I knew when I was coming in this country, I knew there would be something like that in East-West, in the East, whatever they call it. Yeah. All these things are happening, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid for myself and from this country. I know how much God is capable of doing. I have read the Bible and see whatever the children of God, the chosen, choose the inheritance of him, they could come against him. He could just withdraw his hand and let Satan do whatever he wants with them. And I'm telling you, I have led and see Babylon how it was blessed. Even the Nebuchadnezzar, God could say, is my servant. And he blessed that country until the king, the King Nebuchadnezzar had pride on his. And he said, all these things I've made with my hand. he forgot the God that had blessed them, and he was made to eat grass like a beast. And they felt so comfortable. They could only partying. What's happening in some section in this country? I mean, I think it's even 8% are doing it every day, partying and drinking and doing evil things. And while they were doing that and feeling comfortable and feeling safe, and in Zachariah, you see, it says that I hate the country that feels comfortable, they feel safe, that you don't need anybody. Usually, God usually humiliates the great countries with small unknown country. Babylon was the leading country. It was ruling the whole universe. I mean, the whole world. Actually, they were the rulers of the whole world. And I'm telling you, they were humiliated by God. And there is no Babylon even today. It was gone forever. America, don't feel comfortable. Don't feel that you don't need God. It's God that you have given you all this favor. Choose life that you may not perish at this hour. You have come to the extent of bearing your loss to provoke God. Jealousy. You have built an image of jealousy on the ways of where on the gate of north, where usually God comes from, the gate that God passes through his sanctuary, being our body. You have done everything to provoke him to jealousy. You have provoked him to anger. You have done everything, even to come against what you have put yourself into. You say, marriage is between a man and a... Then you bet that just to provoke him. So, whenever the word of God comes, usually there is always a judgment. There is a way out, the only way out. Whether you like it or not, God never changes. It's only the repentance. We repent. Let's gather. I'm telling you, Christ Jesus is coming. Repent and turn away from sin. And this is a command, not a request. Repent and turn away from sin. For Messiah is coming. Prepare the way in righteousness and in holiness. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you, Pastor James. And for the listening audience and those that don't know, we've been holding weekly repentance meetings in the United States of America for the last year or thereabout on a national conference call. The Lord has sent Pastor James, and you've heard him, and Pastor Mary, and you have heard her, and other end-time saints from the land of Kenya. And I want the listeners to know that even that, too, was a prophecy given by the mighty prophet. While I was in Kakamega, Kenya, that the Lord would send his servants here on behalf of the United States of America, that we are the biggest financial debtor nation in the world, and that's because we are the biggest spiritual debtor nation in the world. And we had to borrow the revival resources from Kenya and beg and borrow. And so the Lord has sent through the mighty prophetic word, and it has come to pass, even in the land of Kenya. But you've heard from Pastor James and Pastor Mary. And no doubt, if you are from the fallen church in the United States and you hear them, you know there is something different.
And that is the Spirit of the Lord. That is the Spirit of truth. That is from living and wandering in the wilderness of repentance, agreeing with the Lord, shunning sin, and engaging righteousness. And the glow and the light that Christ spoke about is absolutely unmistakable. You cannot hide it under a barrel. And as the Lord said, the city is placed on top of a hill, and its light cannot be hidden. I want to thank Pastor Mary for sharing, and thank you also, Pastor James, for sharing. I thank the Lord, and I bless the Lord, that we've been able here in the United States to borrow from Kenya, and that the children of the Lord have come here to share the gospel. At one time, the United States preached the gospel all over the globe. That's not anymore, and we need to repent of the false gospel that's been preached from the United States. And now we hear the gospel from nations, just as it was shared earlier from a lesser nation. But that's only in man's eyes, because in God's eyes, the nations that repent are mighty indeed. So this is yet another prophecy that has come to pass that was prophesied by the man of God, the mighty prophet of God, Dr. David Awar, the servant of the Lord, the same who has prophesied judgment, spoken the word of the Lord, judgment to the United States if we do not repent and gather as one man. I diverged a little, but there is a weekly repentance call. If anybody's on this, the Lord lays it on your heart, you can write me at the website at Lou, that's just L-O-U, at highwayofholiness.us if you're interested, or you can just go to the website and read at highwayofholiness.us. I also strongly encourage reading more about the ministry of repentance and holiness at repentandprepareTheWay.org. That's repentandprepareTheWay.org. And also Jesus is Lord Radio. That's all one word. Jesus is Lord Radio.info. And if you want to write us here, again, that's just L-O-U, Lou, at highwayofholiness.us. Thank you very much, Pastor James, for your time. Thank you very much, Pastor Mary, for your time. Our country is indebted to the work that the Lord is doing. And we thank God that we even have a moment of time where the portals of heaven are open to repent. And thank you very much. And God bless you all until the next segment. And as the Lord leads, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom.